John chapter 10, verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I was thinking about this. Jesus talking about giving to them eternal life. You notice again, he's talking about going to heaven, but he's not mentioning heaven. And I wanted to mention some of the things that, and just look at it and then wrap it up when I get to the end. I don't know exactly how long that will take, but we said here that I give unto them eternal life. Keep that in mind, eternal life. What do people do? And where do they go when they have eternal life? Eternal life. They go to heaven. Eternal life. And it's a wonderful thing. I don't know anything that would be real important other than knowing that you're going to heaven. If a person is not sure of heaven, nothing else will really matter. Eternal life is something that people are many times unaware of what they have. And sometimes people say, well, I went to church and I don't know exactly what's happening. But Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And so you find here, he did not say, if you want to go to heaven, you need eternal life. But he said, I give eternal life and they shall never perish. Okay, I want to look at another thought. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when Paul and Silas were in prison, and the Bible says that at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And the jailer didn't come in and say, can you tell me how to go to heaven? He did not come in and say, oh, I want you to tell me how to go to heaven. Paul and Silas didn't do that. The Bible said they'd been beaten because they preached the word of God. But when the jailer came in, he said, what must I do to be saved? Now, it's important to see that Jesus and the Word of God deals with problems from a different angle than what we do. Now, as I said this morning, every person I see, with the exception of the Jehovah's Witnesses, will tell you they want to go to heaven. But I have not found one Jehovah's Witness to ever tell me that they wanted to go to heaven. In Psalm 37, they said that the meek shall inherit the earth. And I think about five times in Psalm 37, there is a statement, the meek inheriting the earth. But the Bible said, except a man be born again, be born again. Jesus didn't say you had to be saved. He said, be born again. He said, be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. But I'm saying here tonight that we look at this. Any person in their right mind would want to go to heaven. And it's on your mind more when you get alone sometimes than it is when you're in a crowd. Sometimes you can have all of the activity as in Disney World and going to ball games and different things, and you don't think straight a lot of times, especially if your team is losing, but you can say, I wonder what's happening. But you look at this, for a person to know that they're going to heaven, I do not know of one single solitary thing that can take the place of that. Now, Jesus said concerning Judas, it would have been better had he never been born. But we find here in the Word of God that it's important that people look at the Word of God, and we find that the new birth is very, very important. And so the Bible says that the jailer didn't say, how can I go to heaven? But he said, what must I do to be saved? Now, we'll say this on the side. Heaven is involved, but it is not the subject of what the jailer was talking about. And sometimes we ask the wrong question, and sometimes we wonder what if we really did it right. Now, I'll ask you this, and this might be something to think about. When you say you got saved, what did you really do? Can you recall what you did? Now, somebody said, we prayed and we said, dear God, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. And so we'll say, and give me a home in heaven. And Lord, help me to be this and that. Name a whole bunch of stuff. Well, wait a minute. A lot of this stuff is, if you walk with God, seemed like to me a package deal. Now, when we went to, they said, well, you have a package deal with insurance. You have a package deal when you have a television and you say, the first group is the cheapest. And so you find for $30 you can get this. For $60 you can get this. But I want to tell you something. When you got saved, glory to God, you didn't have to ask God for a mansion. You didn't have to go and say, God, give me this, give me that, give me the other. You say, God, I just want to thank you for being Jesus, and you're going to give me everything I need, and I'm glad that I can serve you. I'm glad I can walk with you. I'm glad I can fellowship with you. I'm glad I have eternal life. Hallelujah. And I don't have to ask Jesus for all the incidentals. Hallelujah. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all. Now, circle that little word, all. All these things. Praise God, he said all these things. Well, Lord, I tell you what, I need a husband. All. I need a wife. All. I need this. I need money. I need a job. All. Hallelujah. Add to this. Hallelujah. I'm glad. It's a wonderful thing to realize that when you get saved, you don't have to go into detail and say, God, I think y'all do this and do that. The Bible says when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she said, I heard about what was going on. I heard what was going here in your family and in your kingdom. But said, the half was not told me. The Bible said, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, hallelujah, for them that love him and serve him. Amen. I'm glad God's given us more than we deserve, and he's kept from us what we did deserve. I'm glad he's given us eternal life, and I'm glad we have something to rejoice about and rejoice in. And so we find heaven is involved when the Philippian jailer got saved, but the Bible did not say that it was the subject that he was talking about. He said, I want to be saved. That's something, and the Bible said he was going to kill himself. But praise God, I'm glad he got eternal life. And the Bible said he went home and he fixed Paul and Silas up. He gave them something to eat and they had a feast and then they had a baptizing all before daylight. Hallelujah. Now, brother, I tell you what, he's getting on the ball, wasn't he? He said, I'm going to serve God. And the Bible said his whole house, Daddy, what happened to you? Praise God. I was down there in jail and I beat these fellows. These fellows were having, they brought them in there and they said, I want me to keep them safely. And said something, a light shined from heaven, the jail was shaking. And I tell you, I was quaking and I was excited and wondering what in the world was happening. And praise God, he said, I got something in here now and I want y'all to have it. And he said, Daddy, I'm going to go, however you got it. And what did he said, well, this is what Paul told me to do. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Praise God. And then a little sister come in. Well, Daddy, I said, look at your brother. And he's running around in the room shouting, praising God. What happened to him that he got eternal life? Praise God. It wasn't the subject, but praise God, it was the reality of what happened in their heart and in their life. The girl gets saved. The wife gets saved. And all of them, they said, glory to God. They started singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but praise God, this is the best night we've ever faced. This is better than being in jail. This is better than being what we were. And praise God, I'm glad we're on our way to glory. We look at the things of God. The Bible says the two things we look here and we find that they had eternal life and they had heaven, but it was not the subject that they were discussing. But I want you to look at something in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. This blessed my heart. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Didn't say anything about heaven, did it? You hath he quickened who were dead, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, amen, even when we were dead in sins, has He quickened together us together with Christ. By grace you saved. Didn't say anything about heaven. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Think about what He said here. He didn't say anything about heaven, did He? But I want you to notice in verse 8, He's speaking about salvation. The Bible said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And there's the word faith, saved again. Somebody says, I don't like that word saved. Well, praise God, I'm enjoying it. I'm glad to have salvation. I'm glad we have redemption. I'm glad we're brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And I'm glad on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the reality of suffering and shame. And I'm glad it's the grace of Almighty God that we're here tonight, and it's because of His grace that we're going to be in heaven one day. And I'm glad I'm rejoicing in Him because of what He's done in my heart and in your life also. And so we find then in verse 8, there is salvation. But I want you to move down to verse 16. And look at this. That at the time, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles, verse 11, in Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, that's what we were, and without God in the world, but now. Amen. Amen. That's enough to make a Baptist praise God. But now. Look where you were. But now. And I'm glad, glory to God, He's not finished yet. We're not going to where we're going to be one day. The Bible said that was when He said, I saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion. Glory to God, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Hallelujah. I'm glad we stand on Mount Zion one day and seeing the blessed Son of the Lord Jesus, of the God of glory. And I'm glad we can rejoice. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen, amen, amen. The fountain filled with blood. Then the Bible says here, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access, hallelujah, by one Spirit unto the Father. You see two things in this chapter that I want you to notice, two words. Number one, we see in verse 8, there's salvation. But He didn't say heaven. He said salvation. Salvation would take you to heaven, but you can have religion and go to hell. Glory to God, I'm glad we have something better. And then we find in verse 16 another word, reconciliation. Ye who was once afar off, been reconciled, been made a friend of Jesus Christ. What a friend, hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege it is to carry our burdens to the Lord in prayer. Thank God that we find salvation and reconciliation in this. Now, let's move to something else. A rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he did not ask him how to go to heaven. The Bible said in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, the Bible said Felix trembled as Paul reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix said, at my convenience, this is paraphrasing it, at my convenience I will call for you. I want to tell you something. Isn't that a stupid statement for an unsaved, lost man on his way to hell to make? At my convenience. If you visit someone and they say, come back later, I said, you're on dangerous ground. I told a man, he's in his 80s the other day, I said, you are on dangerous ground already. You're close to eternity. And I said, you ought to get saved today. He said, well, come back later. What if I don't get back? Something could happen to me. What if something happens and he dies? I want to tell you, glory to God, today is the day of salvation. And if anybody here, don't say, well, at my convenience, I'll call you. Glory to God, I'm glad when Jesus called, we ought to say, hallelujah, come on in. I want you to come in and save my soul. I'm glad we have something to rejoice in. The Bible said Felix trembled as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. At my convenience, I will call for thee. He did not mention heaven. He didn't say, Paul, will you come back? I want you to tell me how to go to heaven. No, he didn't even say that. He said, at my convenience, if I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Glory to God, I'm glad you didn't say that when God called you. If you did say it, I'm glad you eventually said, Lord, I'm glad you did not give up on me. Praise God. Then we find here something else. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, the Bible said, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to make me want to go to heaven. No, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He didn't say anything about going to heaven. And I'll tell you something. People talk about, oh, I'm a Christian. We ought to say, God, I want you to give me what I need in my heart. I'm not minimizing the fact of going to heaven, that many people got saved and they didn't even hear anything about heaven. That was not the subject. People talk about heaven so much. And like I say, every time you go out and talk to somebody, I will guarantee you, if you ask the people this question this week, this is the answer you'll probably get. And even people that are not even going to heaven, not even saved, this is what they've told me. They said, oh, I sure don't want to miss heaven. I sure hope I go to heaven. And I tell you what, I'm not so bad. I think maybe God will let me slip on through. And the man told me the other day, he said, well, preacher, said, I think that even though the person didn't know what was going on, that God kind of let him overlook, God's going to overlook and let him slip on through. No, God makes it so plain that, praise God, even a wayfarer or a fool, he will not err therein. Even a fool can find the way to heaven if he comes to Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Okay, here's another great verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it tells me how to go to heaven. Is that what it says? No. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto, what? Salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Well, what did he say? He said, I am ready to preach the gospel. And didn't say one word about going to heaven. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so the gospel is so important. We find that people need to realize that they have something, hallelujah, that will be of benefit to them. And so again, he did not say anything about going to heaven. He just said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Look at this in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which will tell me how to go to heaven. No, it didn't say that. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are, notice that word again, saved. That word saved. It said here, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I believe that when we're talking to people, we might ought to talk a little more about sin than we do heaven. I think sometimes we ought to mention sin. And somebody was telling me the other day, and I had another talk with them. I went back and talked to them again. They were talking about something they were doing, and they felt justified in doing so. I've been living like this all my life. The Bible says we receive something from the Lord. He didn't say anything about going to heaven, but he said here, wherein you stand, by which you are saved. By which you are saved. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And then he saw, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Sometimes we talk about heaven and never deal with sin. We talk about the glory of God and never tell people that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says here, delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The Bible said that after he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as a one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called the apostle, an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. The Bible says, goes on talking about the resurrection. And we find that the gospel, number one, by which we are saved, the Bible says Christ died for our sins. When's the last time you've had anybody talk about sin? You talk about something, you're talking to individuals. And we tell them, oh, you need to be saved, you need to go to heaven. And that's true. And like I said, don't get the idea that we're minimizing the fact of going to heaven. We need to deal with some issues that in people's lives. Just because we do something bad for a long time, we will not justify it in the sight of God. But sin must be dealt with. And I told someone here also that sin must be dealt with. And it would be a lot better and a lot easier to deal with sin and get things right with God than it would be to try to cover sin and try to say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. You can do what you want to do, but you're going to be a miserable person the rest of your life if you do. It's a wonderful life to live for God. Oh yes, persecution, misunderstanding. I'm afraid that we are dealing with heaven more than dealing with sin that will keep people out of heaven. Sin, rejecting Christ, is going to keep people out of heaven. Now, people say, what's the greatest sin? And some people say, oh, murder is the worst. And some people even say, and I've heard some of the folk, religious people, they have said that if you commit this sin, you can't get saved. Well, there is an unpardonable sin, the Bible says in the Word of God, and Jesus warned about the unpardonable sin, and there is a sin unto death. And do you know, even some people that have died, that will die, the Bible says that the flesh will be destroyed, but the spirit will be saved in the day of Christ. That's going to be some people persecuted. That's going to be some people die because of their deliberate work against God. That's going to go to heaven. But we find that sin of unbelief, not believing on Jesus, is what's going to send people to hell. I'm afraid that many times we're dealing with heaven more than dealing with sin that will keep people out of heaven. Don't despair. Heaven will come in view at the proper time. Cody was singing, that song a while ago. And then one day, hallelujah, you'll arrive at heaven's portals. Hallelujah. One day. But God deals with sin and tells people they must be born again. What must I do to be saved? Well, whereby you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. You find people today, they're talking about heaven, but not everyone talking about heaven is going to heaven. But those that are redeemed by the blood. Let me say this last question. Who told you that you're going to heaven? I'm saying here tonight, the Holy Ghost will tell you if you're really born again. The Holy Ghost will work in your heart, and there will be times when you go through some storms. And sometimes it'll be when the storms come that you're going to really feel the presence, the closeness of God. But I will say that we need to realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But he did not mention heaven every time he talked about being born again. You must be saved. You must be born again. And I say, if you look all through the Bible says, and I said this morning, that the prodigal son said, I have sinned against heaven, but he did not tell how to go to heaven. The rich young ruler didn't say, I'm going to heaven. He said, I want you to know, I'd like to know what I can do to inherit eternal life. And the Bible said in John 1:12, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, Lord, is that better than going to heaven? Well, praise God, a son of God, you'll make it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And again, I pray for Ms. Crosby. Lord, it seems that many heartaches, sorrows, problems she's faced. I saw her raising a hand a while ago. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that you touch. I pray that we'll have your will wrought in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.